So it's my great pleasure to welcome Alexandra Kotick from ORA, who is our guest this morning, and to talk to us about our refugee program that we're starting here and what it's going to be like to host a refugee family. And Alexandra is going to be doing a question and answer also following church upstairs during coffee. So any other questions that you might have that we don't address, you'll have that chance to ask her. So first of all, welcome. We're delighted that you're here. And maybe you could tell us sort of who ORA is and how it functions and what its role is in this.
Of course. So some of you might remember the Vietnamese boat people came end of 70s, early 80s, and Canada was a major contributor to welcoming these people. And the churches were the ones that got involved and sort of spurred the government into making this pledge and helping all these people who were fleeing their country. So at that point, an organization started, which was known as the Working Group on Refugee Resettlement. We changed our name in 2006 to become the Anglican United Refugee Alliance. And we're the only one in Canada that works together, Anglicans and United together, because there's a long history of the two denominations working together.
Great. So I opened my paper this morning, and I saw on the front of the insight section a whole story about a refugee family who'd been coming, I think, from Sudan. And they had been in a refugee camp for 23 years before coming to Canada. 23 years living in a refugee camp. Is that what people are facing around the world right now?
Some people. It was weird. I actually haven't seen The Good Lie yet. I keep meaning to, but in this job, you never have any time. And actually, I visited probably not that camp, but the camp that looked exactly like that 2 years ago. And it was a camp that was started with the South Sudanese fleeing and the Somalis fleeing from persecution in their home countries. And those families have never been able to go home. And so there are many populations in the world, especially in Africa, that have been out of their home country for decades, and families and children have been born in the refugee camps. There are newer populations like the Syrians who have just started to flee their home country, but the expectation is there's no end in sight for the civil war, so we have no idea when they'll be able to go home.
So what is the situation in Syria right now?
Situation in Syria is dire. It's one of the largest humanitarian crises that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has ever seen. Right now, there are almost 4 million Syrian refugees. So that's basically if everyone in Toronto left over a four-year period. There's also around 7 million internally displaced, meaning that you've left your home and you've fled within the borders of Syria. And at any point, those people could cross over the international border and become a refugee. So that's a huge number of people that are just sort of hemorrhaging out of the country, fleeing from the conflict that's happening between the government and all of the other military groups and militia. And it started with just people wanting democracy, and it's turned into a civil war.
So in essence, so we can understand this, it's like every single member, a person who lives in the Greater Toronto Area is either a refugee or displaced, had to flee their homes. Every single person in the whole GTA, all of us, and all around the borders. That's unbelievable. And so 7 million displaced, 4 million or in total of refugees, 4 million we know as refugees, and the government of Canada now has said that they'll, of that 4 million, we'll take 10,000. So 10,000, and we're looking at one to start, which is great, but we're one of those families. So what is your, as an organization, what is your expectation of us, of all of us in doing this?
My expectation of the congregation, and I know you can meet it because I've seen every other congregation meet this expectation, is you welcome the family. And you explain to them about how to live in Canada, from the very minutiae of how to open a bank account and how to use the subway, to the larger understanding of what Canada is and the values we have and how to become a Canadian citizen eventually when they're allowed to apply for citizenship. So it's the welcoming, supporting, and friendship that you're going to provide to them.
So what do you expect, based on your experience, is going to be the biggest, well, the two challenges, the biggest challenge for us and the biggest challenge for the family who's going to be coming?
I think that the easiest way to explain the biggest challenge for you is going to be communication. Not just because they probably will not speak English, although they are, a lot of them, very highly educated. Post-secondary was free in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, including Syria. So some of them are professionals who learned English, but they probably speak Arabic. So you play charades a lot. quite frankly. Yeah. It's fun. You meet them at the airport, you say hello, you're playing charades, most of that. So communication, cultural communication, not getting too upset when they're doing things that you sort of might not agree with or think might be a little strange, trying to understand from their perspective why they might do that. I mean, as the clip showed, if they've never seen ice and snow, I mean, that's a whole thing to have to worry about and think about. Like, that's a small piece of something that will be culture shock. And that's the big problem for them, is going to be culture shock. They didn't want to have to flee their country. They'd love to go home if they could, but they can't. So they're going to have a tough time with the culture shock of being in a new country and understanding how to fit into that country.
So we say culture shock. I've experienced culture shock going when I lived in Sierra Leone. So I know what it's like. Just share with the congregation just a little bit about what it feels like to have that sense of displacement.
It's from what I've been told, obviously I have not had culture shock. I've been in Kenya, and that was, I mean, being the only white person surrounded by people who were not white, who were mostly black, was a culture shock, was not what I was used to. And so you feel concerned, you feel scared, you feel like something maybe you're going to do is wrong, and you sometimes feel like you want to stay at home, and especially if you're with your family, just stay in and stay with them and feel secure that way. But you also want to reach out a hand and try and get help from people, but you're not really sure about these people. Why are these people helping me? I have to tell you, the thing I find so strange as a Canadian is people say to me, well, why are these church people helping? What are they getting out of it? Because in a lot of countries, you don't help for nothing. So for me to say, they just want to welcome you, they're just friendly, lovely people who want to help you, is really a lot to wrap your head around. And that's one of the things you have to keep understanding about these people. They want to reach out, they want to become part of the community, but they're still concerned and confused about what that means.
And what's going to be our biggest joy and their biggest joy?
The first biggest joy you'll have will be the airport arrival. Now, not everyone can come to that. I'm sorry to Pearson Airport's not, it's big, it's not that big. But I have gone to a lot of arrivals, and the joy of these sort of bewildered people who somehow always seem to manage to have to travel overnight, poor things, and come out in the morning and sort of get off the plane, and they're sort of blinking and they're going, where the heck am I? Just to know that those people are now safe is a huge joy. And then there's the small joys of them just sort of their faces lighting up when they understand their kids can go to school again, to the big joys of knowing that they're going to have citizenship in this country and they can access citizenship and become productive members of Canadian society is a huge joy. It's their joy, and I think it's the congregation's joy usually. Just to be able to sort of explain what it means to be Canadian and see another person join what this country means, which is all of us probably at one point and somewhere in our family were immigrants or refugees, and to share that with somebody else is a joy for you and for them to feel safe again. Safety and security is really all that everyone wants, and it's really the main thing that these refugees are looking for.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you
thank
here.
You. And thank you.